This is Audible.
Simon & Schuster Audio presents Get With The Program. Getting Real About Your Weight, Health, and Emotional Well-Being by Bob Green. Read by the author.
Congratulations. Whether you realize it or not, simply by listening to this program, you have taken the first of what I hope will be many steps, both large and small, simple and challenging, toward the most rewarding journey of all, the road to reclaiming your physical health, well-being, and happiness. Living the best possible life is everyone's dream, and that includes maintaining a healthy weight, getting in shape, achieving strength, fitness, and self-assurance, and feeling a whole lot better in general. Those goals are exactly what Get With The Program is all about. This is not a diet. This is not a fitness program. This is about moving in the right direction. It's about getting real, about getting back in shape physically and emotionally, realistically and gradually. It's also a wake-up call and a reminder about many things that you may have already learned over the years, but have, for whatever reason, put on the back burner for a while or let slide. It's about tuning in and tuning up your body day by day, and little by little, until before you know it, your extra weight begins melting away. It's also about changing the way you think, not only to help you make intelligent, healthy choices about how best to nourish and strengthen your body and to nurture your sense of well-being and self-esteem, but how to help you literally move out of your own way. Perhaps the most difficult exercise of all is simply to learn how to push away the emotional obstacles that have been holding you back from accomplishing your personal goals. We all struggle with that challenge, believe me. The ultimate goal of Get With The Program is to help you get real about the changes you want to make in your life, once and for all. Do that at your own pace, but with complete commitment to this program, and I promise that you will become slimmer, stronger, and brimming with self-assurance. If you're serious about losing weight and keeping it off for good, I'm going to show you exactly how to do it and why to do it. I can assure you, you'll be capable of doing everything that I teach you. And best of all, you'll be able to do it for the rest of your life. I'm not selling anything trendy or something that promises unbelievable results with little or no work. There are no gimmicks here. You're going to be challenged in many different ways. That's always the case when you make meaningful changes to your life. What I'm offering you is good, sound, honest advice. And should you decide to follow this advice, it'll change your life. This is a program for people of every weight, size, shape, and age. When you get with the program, you will follow a simple progression of behavioral, exercise, and eating changes that will guide you through the following goals. 1. Get real about adjusting your thought patterns to help create positive change. 2. Get stronger and healthier. 3. Get in touch with your emotional eating triggers. And 4, get on with finally living and feeling good about yourself. Get With The Program will help you accomplish all of those goals. It may not be the fastest way, but it's by far the best way. Trust me on that. This program is a recipe for success. It is especially geared for people who have found it difficult over the years to maintain their shape, weight, and strength, and who have tried numerous diets only to succeed for a short time and then fail. If you include yourself on that list, you are certainly not alone. Get With The Program is comprised of 4 clear-cut phases which correspond directly to the program's 4 goals. Each phase requires that you make specific investments in yourself, which will physically and emotionally prepare you to successfully move on to the program's next phase and goal. Phase 1 is about preparation, mental and physical. You'll begin with simple changes to your body and, more importantly, to your mindset. You won't change what or how you eat. You won't even do any formal physical exercise. You will, however, perform several written exercises that will help you learn as much as you can about yourself and your attitudes about the process of change. These exercises will help you get in touch with your personal issues with regard to your health, happiness, and any potentially self-destructive habits. I will also ask you to sign a contract with yourself, committing to Get With The Program. You'd be surprised how motivating putting your intentions in writing can be. And oh yes, you'll drink lots of water. In phase 2, you'll learn how to exercise properly, and how aerobic exercise can kickstart your metabolism. As you progress through this phase, you will actually begin to see weight loss results as your body's metabolism increases. This metabolic boost will eventually lead to dramatic changes in your body. This is the time when you'll begin to modify your eating and drinking behavior, especially if you currently drink alcoholic beverages, which you will begin to limit at this stage. You will also continue to drink plenty of water. In phase 3, you will continue to follow and benefit from what you've already accomplished in the first two phases, as you begin to focus on the emotional connection to your eating habits and how they affect your overall health and fitness. In this part of the program, you will identify the emotional issues that trigger you to eat when you're not hungry: stress, anxiety, depression, boredom, loneliness, fear of failure or success are among the possibilities. By identifying and acknowledging those emotional triggers, rather than by numbing yourself through snacking, overeating, and inactivity, you will soon find yourself making much better eating choices and decisions about how to treat your body. As you become physically and emotionally stronger and healthier, you will be better equipped to make a total commitment to fully impose your will to bring about permanent, positive change to your life. Finally, Phase 4, you will continue to increase the amount of exercise that you perform, including the addition of strength training exercises. This is one of the program's keys to maintaining your weight loss success on a permanent basis, because it keeps your body's internal metabolic fire burning calories at a high level, even when you're not exercising. This final phase will also find you focusing on fine-tuning your eating. The end result? A lifetime of health, well-being, strength, and stamina. Get With The Program will get you where you want to go. It's a program that is designed to help you finally become the person you were always meant to be. Now let's fire it up and get going. Phase 1. Truth, Commitment, and Self-Control. Phase 1 is about changing the way you think. It's about moving toward your goal of enjoying a healthier and happier future by stretching and flexing your emotional muscles, as well as increasing your physical activity. You will begin this phase not by diving into a strict diet or a major workout program, but by embarking on a bit of soul-searching and self-discovery. In addition, you're going to start moving more, whether it's taking a 15-minute walk after dinner, taking the stairs to your office instead of the elevator, or even washing the car yourself. I will also ask you to think about your choices about the food and drink that you put into your body, and I'll have you drinking more fresh water than you have been. But most of all, Phase 1 will have you focusing on getting your mind moving in the right direction. Creating positive behavior in your life is what makes the difference between a successful fitness and weight loss plan and a failed one. A common mistake people make is to attempt to change all their negative behaviors too quickly. This is one reason you won't change the way you eat right away. In addition, if you cut your calories without first increasing your amount of exercise, your metabolism begins to shut down. This is a common mistake that people make when they start a new weight loss program. You need to boost your metabolism with exercise before you cut down on the amount of calories that you eat. It takes patience and time to lose weight the right way, and is necessary to lose weight progressively in phases. You didn't gain your extra weight overnight, so don't expect positive results to happen immediately. Get With The Program is all about patience, persistence, and pacing. It's about self-discipline, self-control, and personal commitment. Most of all, it's about feeling good about yourself and taking good care of yourself. This program is a realistic, life-changing process for life. Here are the goals for Phase 1. 1. Explore your beliefs, attitudes, and behaviors that relate to yourself and the process of change. 2. Learn all about the process of how you gain and lose weight. 3. Make a personal pledge to get with the program by signing a contract with yourself. 4. Start drinking a minimum of 6 8-ounce glasses of water each day. 5. Start to improve your functional fitness by moving more and performing some basic exercises. 6. Prepare yourself for a lifetime of being healthy and fit. Be it a little or a lot, the key ingredient to beginning the program is to get moving. And the more the better. For starters, from this day on, I want you to make a conscious decision to increase your physical activity as much as possible, Shoot for at least 30 minutes per day for now. You can break them into 10 or 15-minute segments if necessary. The goal is to get yourself back on track. So just get up and move. For instance, hide your remote controls. Walk instead of drive. Take stairs instead of elevators. Ride a bike. Row a boat. Jump rope. Pull some weeds. Jog in place. Take a hike. You get the picture. Just by exerting a little more energy every single day, you'll boost your metabolism. By moving more, you're getting with the program physically. Now it's time to start getting in step with the program mentally and emotionally. In my 20-plus years of helping people to lose weight, I've learned something very important. The way you think will ultimately dictate your long-term success or failure. When I first begin to work with any new client, I spend up to 2 hours just gathering personal information. I look for what I call potential landmines. Just about everyone has at least one of these issues. These landmines are really attitudes, traits, beliefs, or behaviors that will eventually surface and sabotage their health and fitness goals in some way. The result can range from minor motivational setbacks to a complete abandonment of their goals. This is why we're going to deal with these issues now, before you invest the time, energy, and emotional commitment necessary to change your life. I want you to start by taking a little quiz designed to help you recognize any issues that negatively affect you and your potential for change. I'm going to ask you 12 questions. Simply answer yes or no to each one. Each question corresponds to a specific attitude, trait, belief, or behavior that may affect your level of motivation to move forward. After you take this quiz, I'll talk about the meaning of your answers to the questions, and then you can decide if further work is needed on your part. Okay, here we go. Answer yes or no. 1. Do you believe that once you reach a certain size or weight, you'll be happy? 2. Do you frequently look for a shortcut or an easier way to achieve what you want? 3. Do you frequently use excuses to get yourself out of doing what it takes to reach your goals? Remember, answer yes or no. 4. Are you often impatient with slow results? 5. Do you ever consider giving up when you experience minor setbacks? 6. Do you often procrastinate? 7. Are you afraid of change? 8. Do you typically choose immediate gratification over reaching your long-term goals? 9. Do you ever use family, relationship, or work obligations as an excuse not to take care of yourself? 10. Are you afraid of disappointing others? 11. Do you ever blame something or someone else for your inability to reach your goals? Finally, 12. Do you ever feel that you don't deserve to be happy or successful? Each time you answered yes to one of these questions, you've raised a little red flag. It may signal that your mindset may not be optimal for long-term weight loss success, or that you have unrealistic expectations about what it takes to succeed. Most people are affected by at least one or more of these issues, so if you are, don't feel like you're alone. What you're trying to accomplish now is to recognize the issues that negatively affect you and that will need future work and attention on your part. Let's explore each question a bit further. 1. Do you believe that once you reach a certain size or weight, you'll be happy? I can't tell you how often my clients either hint at or say outright that they'll be happy once they lose a specific amount of weight. As soon as I hear those words, a big red flag goes up in my mind. When you say to yourself, "I'll be happy when I reach blank pounds," one of two outcomes can occur. The first is that you never reach that weight and are therefore never happy. The second outcome is that you reach that magical weight and realize after a while that it has absolutely nothing to do with your happiness. Eventually, you slide back into your old habits and quickly put back all the weight that you just lost. And often then some. Either way, it's a no-win situation. What I want you to fully understand is that your excess weight is usually a symptom of something else. If you address only the symptom, your excess weight, you'll never permanently solve anything. However, if you identify and deal with the underlying problem or issue, you'll not only be a happier individual, you'll be much more likely to care for yourself in such a way that your weight will no longer be such a struggle. Keep in mind that the underlying issue or issues can be easy or difficult to resolve. You simply may have too much stress in your life or lack the willpower to turn down your favorite junk food. Be aware, however, that I've had many clients who believe that they simply lack the proper discipline to turn down their favorite foods, when the truth was their dilemma was much more complex, such as that something or someone meaningful was missing from their life. They just never took the time and energy to explore their feelings, or they buried those feelings with food. Quite often, part of what's missing is a healthy level of self-esteem, which also contributes to emotional eating. I'll talk more about emotional eating in phase 3. Whatever your excess weight is symptomatic of, it is important to get to the bottom of the reason and determine what in your life needs to change. First, be willing to accept that your excess weight may be an emotional bandage of sorts to cover up an underlying issue. Next, work hard to identify what that issue might be. This is where the self-discovery process begins and continues forever. That's right. Self-discovery doesn't end when you reach a certain weight or size. It's a lifetime pursuit. Finally, you need to make the commitment to change those things that negatively affect you, no matter how long it takes. Woven into this journey of self-discovery is a commitment to exercising and eating healthy foods. If you answered yes to this question, here's a very important written exercise for you. Make a list of all the things you could do that would make you happy and that you feel would benefit your life. Include, in particular, those things that you've always said you wanted to do. Circle one or two of these and take the necessary steps to incorporate them into your life now. Commit to a start date for each objective, then write down exactly what you need to do in order to put this goal in your life and hold yourself to it. Just be sure that one of the spaces includes to get with the program and clear your schedule now. Question number 2. Do you frequently look for a shortcut or an easier way to achieve what you want? Dedication, commitment, and effort are needed to accomplish anything worthwhile. You need to work hard if you want to achieve success when it comes to raising your family and succeeding in your career. The same goes for maintaining a successful, loving relationship. Hard work is required to accomplish anything worthwhile. Losing weight and taking care of yourself is no exception. Memorize these words. There are no shortcuts. If you've ever tried any diet or weight loss fad, you're guilty of looking for a shortcut. Of course, we've all, at one time or another, tried the latest diet, the newest pill, the hottest new fitness gadget, to little, if any, avail. Some people, though, are constantly searching for the easy way out. They simply jump from one gimmick to the next. They even go back to the same things that failed them the first time around. If your behavior at all resembles what I'm describing, listen up. When you're counting on your health, fitness, and weight loss goals to be accomplished by the latest fad, you are really looking for something to take the place of hard work and difficult choices. In other words, you don't have faith in yourself and in your own abilities. But working hard and earning your results is exactly what increases your self-esteem. That sense of accomplishment is what will drive your results, not a shortcut. So if you answered yes to this question, here's a written exercise. Make a list of some of the shortcuts, gimmicks, diets, or trends that you've tried in the past that didn't work out. They don't have to pertain to only weight loss. They can relate to other areas of your life. Include an approximate time frame during which you tried them, and a summary of what happened in each case. Question 3. Do you frequently use excuses to get yourself out of doing what it takes to reach your goals? One of the things that I do for a living is help my clients overcome excuses. I think I've heard them all. except, of course, a good one. I don't have time. I don't like to sweat. I feel claustrophobic when I'm out of breath. I have to travel a lot in my line of work. I have asthma. I get a rash when I do that. I have to admit it, I've become a little intolerant of excuses. In fact, if during an initial consultation I hear a potential client give three or more excuses why they can't make a necessary change in their life, I won't work with them at that time. I'm not giving up on them. I'm simply making them wait until they're out of excuses, because that's what they need for their program to be successful. If you're afflicted with chronic excuse syndrome, there's still hope. You must first recognize that you're using excuses to hold on to the life that you currently have. Then, you must fully understand the consequences of the way you are choosing to live your life, including how it not only negatively affects you, but how it negatively affects others in your life. Accept that you've been avoiding these issues. When you are no longer satisfied defending your choices through excuses and are willing to take responsibility for all your choices, past, present, and future, you're ready to get with the program. Here's your written exercise for this question. Write down some of the excuses that you've used in the past for not doing something that would have improved your life. Be sure to include the dates you use these excuses, and place a check mark next to any that you've used in the past 30 days. Upon review and reflection, circle those that you now feel are without genuine merit and which ended up holding you back from something you really wanted to accomplish. Question 4. Are you often impatient with slow results? Everyone is. But still, it never ceases to amaze me how someone can gain weight over a period of, say, 20 or 30 years and expect dramatic weight loss results in a week or two. It just doesn't work that way. Losing weight the right way, through strengthening your body, gradually boosting your metabolism with exercise, and improving your eating habits, takes time. Powerful results in any area of your life are always best accomplished over time in small increments. Losing weight is no exception. Most people who are successful at maintaining their motivation tend to take a long-term view of improving their life and their health. They tend to focus on the fact that they may feel a little bit better today and are encouraged by knowing that they will feel even better tomorrow. That is exactly what I'm asking you to do. Focus on feeling better and feeling better about yourself today. Take the time to acknowledge and praise yourself each day that you stick with your chosen path towards your goals, especially when results are slow. Also, as you make improvements, take the time to recognize them, such as small, positive changes in how your clothes fit. Above all, be sure to acknowledge the many ways that your life has improved since you got with the program. Make a list or keep a journal, but recognize your accomplishments. Take time to praise yourself each day that you stick with it. If you answered yes to this question, do this written exercise. Write down the things that make you happy and that you appreciate in your life, and how you can nurture them. Question 5. Do you ever consider giving up when you experience minor setbacks? Let me get this out in the open right now. You will experience setbacks. Everyone does. The best way to look at setbacks is to see them as challenges and a natural part of your progress. Be prepared to occasionally experience muscular soreness, blisters, body aches, colds, flu, disappointment, family commitments, work commitments, vacations, and lack of motivation. Hey, it's life. Before you really get with the program, program yourself for success. See yourself in your mind's eye completing and accomplishing your goals, and maintaining all of the necessary positive behaviors to ensure your health and well-being for the rest of your life. Visualizing yourself reaching your goals will reinforce the need for you to shrug off bad days. Maintain a positive attitude and focus on today. Here's a written exercise for this question. Write about any times that you encountered setbacks in your life and overcame them. Include the approximate dates that these events occurred. Include how you felt when you overcame these obstacles. Question 6. Do you often procrastinate? We've all been guilty of procrastination at one point or another. However, if this is a frequent pattern of behavior for you, It will have to be broken if you want results and you want them to last. Your success depends on your daily effort and your recommitment to your goals. Let's be honest. Procrastination is often really fear masked by laziness. Anytime you want something or say that you want it, and you either don't take the proper steps to accomplish it, or you act in direct opposition to it, you're being lazy as well as afraid. You may be afraid of failure, afraid of change, afraid of success, afraid of the unknown. For that matter, anything that holds you back can be directly traced back to the feeling of fear. If procrastination is an element of your health and weight issues, you will need to focus extra hard on the source of your fears. What is keeping you from starting a program to bring increased health and happiness into your life? What are you afraid of? Identify it. Once you do, you will conquer one of your greatest obstacles. Get with the program and break your personal cycle of procrastination. Start with this written exercise. After you sign the Get With The Program contract with yourself, make a list of the things that you need to do to begin fulfilling your commitment to this program. For example, purchasing workout clothing and shoes, deciding on which activities to add to your life, arranging for a babysitter, and so on, and include a start date for each. Question 7. Are you afraid of change? Change takes you from your comfort zone into the unknown. Change usually requires you to overcome fear, and while it's not always an easy thing to overcome, once you do, your life will change, and change for the better. Fear of change can be paralyzing. It can freeze you in your tracks and delay you from getting what you want and deserve in your life. This type of fear often occurs with people who struggle with their weight. Many use their excess weight as armor against change. This armor closes them off from the rest of the world. If you recognize how you've used fear to influence a decision that has held you back, you may wish you could rewrite the past. You can't. But you can make a decision to move forward now. Now is the best time to change your life. It's time to get out of your comfort zone and take some risks. It's definitely going to involve some effort, but you've gotten this far, and I'm sure you're ready to keep going. In Get With The Program, you won't be asked to do anything that you're not capable of, and all the challenges are accomplished on your own timetable. Here's a written exercise. Write down 3 instances in which you successfully overcame your fear of change. Include when each occurred, how you overcame the fear, and how the experience changed your life. If you believe you have subconsciously held on to your excess weight to keep a certain change from occurring in your life, identify those specific fears. Then explain them and how and when they started. Once you do, you will begin to feel a surge of deep healing relief as you get in touch with those inner feelings and let them out. Just start writing and let it flow. Question 8. Do you typically choose immediate gratification over reaching your long-term goals? Whether it was choosing those chocolates over fitting into a particular outfit, or skipping a workout to go lie in the sun, everyone at one time or another has caved in to immediate gratification. But if this is your theme song, it will make a successful weight loss program impossible, because the process relies, in part, on your ability to give up temptations that are in front of you now for the benefit of your future well-being. In short, you must be willing at times to delay gratification. Needless to say, your willpower will be tested. At those times, you should remind yourself of what your goals are and how important they are to you. You should also make a habit of picturing yourself reaching your goals and then reflecting on how gratifying that will be if you can just get past your moment of temptation. Surround yourself with reminders of what you want to accomplish. In a conspicuous place, hang an article of clothing that you one day would like to wear. Place the invitation to your high school reunion on your nightstand or desk. Do things that help you get past moments of temptation and that encourage you to focus on reaching your goals. Anytime you're tempted to miss your exercise session or to eat something that you know is out of bounds, draw upon these things for strength. Here's a written exercise. Make a list of the things that you can do that will remind you of your long-term weight loss goal. This can include placing pictures of yourself or invitations to upcoming events in conspicuous places, displaying clothes that you'd like to wear, anything that keeps you focused on your goals. Once you make your list, write out a detailed plan about where you'll keep these things in view and how they'll be used in times of temptation. Question 9. Do you ever use family, relationship, or work obligations as an excuse not to take care of yourself? I covered excuses earlier, but I wanted to devote some extra comments about the big three: family, relationship, and work obligations. This boils down to an issue of priorities. If you answered yes to this question, you need to make concern for your own health and well-being one of your top priorities, as it should be. Think of anything worthwhile that you've accomplished in your life, and try to tell me that you didn't make it one of your top priorities. It just doesn't work any other way. From this point on, your health and well-being must be considered absolutely sacred. Your daily workout is also sacred. It is a gift you give yourself. Believe me, your career, family, and relationships with others, as well as your own self-esteem, will all benefit tremendously if you stay on track with this. You'll also set a terrific example for those in your life who you really care about and who really care about you. I feel so strongly that this is exactly where most people fall off the wagon. I would recommend that if you're unsure whether you can make this commitment at this time, then you should consider holding off on starting the program until you're able to do so. Here's a written exercise. Create a log entitled, "I'm My Own Top Priority." Starting now and for at least the next couple of weeks, simply jot down each time you avoid letting family, relationship, or work obligations interfere with something you wanted to do for yourself. The emphasis here needs to be on the creative solutions you came up with that allowed you to accomplish what you wanted to do. Of particular interest should be any situations that you handled differently than you have in the past. Be sure to record the date that these occasions occurred and the events surrounding each situation. Question 10. Are you afraid of disappointing others? Whether you realize it or not, the fact that you're taking care of yourself will affect other people in your life. Some will be thrilled. Others won't be so thrilled. But if you're overly concerned about disappointing someone else, you're wide open to failing in your efforts. There are at least three emotions that can come into play here: guilt, the fear of disapproval, and the fear that a relationship will be damaged or lost. These emotions can cause havoc to your program. The chances that you'll be challenged on your efforts are fairly good. Whether it's someone being offended that you're not overindulging in a meal that was prepared for you, or having to explain why you must meet someone a little later because of your workout, eventually someone will be inconvenienced because you're standing up for yourself. Whatever the reason, get tough. You simply can't afford to worry about how taking care of yourself is going to disappoint someone else. Those who really care about you will not only understand, but will be 100% behind you. My advice is that before you get too far along in this process, get those close to you on board. Explain to them what it means to you for you to accomplish your goals, and then ask them for their encouragement and support. They may even be inspired to get with the program themselves, but if not, at least they'll feel included in the process. Those who are close to you may need reassurance that your relationship with them will not be negatively affected. In particular, your spouse or significant other can be a critical factor in your success or failure. Their fear that you will leave them behind, both figuratively and literally, is a real and common problem. Again, make them feel included in the process and reassure them that achieving your goals is good for your relationship. Here's a written exercise. Make a list of people in your life who may be most affected by your weight loss efforts. Once the list is complete, begin to communicate with each person about the importance of his support. Record when and where these conversations take place and any details about the person's reaction. Question 11. Do you ever blame something or someone else for your inability to reach your goals? If you answered yes to this question, you must look at whether or not you are taking full responsibility for your life. This is essential to making permanent changes and getting results. Pointing to external reasons for why your life has become and remains a certain way is much easier than realizing that you have control over your own life. We've all known people who have pointed to an unpleasant childhood, a bad marriage or relationship, or their less than fulfilling career as the cause for their unhappiness. They project the blame anywhere but on themselves by citing external causes. Projecting blame usually takes them farther from resolving anything. Taking responsibility means looking to yourself to create your own life. It means no longer blaming other people or things for who you are. Being successful with the weight loss process requires you to release all the external causes for your unhappiness and then take it upon yourself to create your own happiness. Here's a written exercise. List the three most important things that you want to accomplish in the year ahead. List all the obstacles that are currently in your way of accomplishing these things. Then, list the things that you can do to overcome these obstacles. Be sure to include exactly when you will initiate your plans. Question 12. The final question. Do you ever feel that you don't deserve to be happy or successful? If you're prone to sabotaging your own efforts or allowing anyone else to do so, it may be that deep down you really want your efforts to be doomed. There are lots of reasons why you may do this, but typically the source stems from some type of fear. It could be fear of failure, fear of change, fear of loss, fear of disapproval, fear that you'll have to continue this life of constant effort, or even fear of success. But often, at the root of this type of sabotage is the core belief that you're undeserving of happiness. Believing you are unworthy is the single greatest barrier to your success in achieving not only weight loss, but anything worthwhile. Here's a written exercise. Write about the times that you've experienced success and/or happiness and then did something to sabotage the feeling or the achievement. Include dates if you can. If you suspect that your core belief is that you don't deserve happiness, write an essay as to why you feel you don't deserve it. Frequently, when we see our arguments in writing, they are impossible to justify, even to ourselves. The sheer action of writing down your feelings will be a major step in your journey toward achieving well-deserved health and happiness. Now, here's one final exercise for phase one. Reflect on and write about why you've failed in the past with other fitness and weight loss plans. Write about the emotional reasons for your failure. Were any of these 12 issues to blame? Describe which of the old thought patterns you will now need to get rid of or change in order to successfully get with the program. Get with the program is about changing your behavior, and changing your behavior requires you to change the way you think. It may be hard work to exercise regularly and make positive eating changes, but the real challenge is to take a good, hard, honest look at yourself and summon up the courage to make permanent, positive changes in the way you think. This is one of the toughest things you could possibly do. It can also be one of the most rewarding and life-changing. Congratulations for making it this far. Now, invest in yourself by signing the Get With The Program contract with myself. You'll find it on the mini disc that accompanies this program. I urge you to print it out and sign it. After you've signed it, post it on your refrigerator. It will help motivate you along your journey. The next step is to understand the truth about your weight. It all seems so simple. You're trying to lose weight. You jump on the scale. You see you've dropped 2 pounds and you feel good about yourself. 2 days later, you jump on the same scale and you see you've gained a pound. And this triggers an emotional crisis. Well, what if the entire process of weighing yourself was one big practical joke? In a way, it is. Let me explain. Let's say you lost 4 pounds of water, gained 3 pounds of fat, and lost 1 pound of muscle. When you jumped on the scale, it would read that you lost 2 pounds. The chances are that you felt pretty good about yourself, even though the reality is that you gained 3 pounds of fat. You just didn't know it. In another scenario, you've lost 4 pounds of fat and gained 5 pounds of water. The scale read that you gained 1 pound, when the truth is that you lost 4 pounds of unwanted body fat. Your reaction would probably be one of disappointment. By understanding the shortcomings of the bathroom scale, as well as a little bit about the science behind how your body gains and loses weight, you can avoid the emotional roller coaster that weighing yourself can put you through. Let's start at the beginning. The first type of body weight is water weight. This refers to the weight of all the water in your body, including water found within your bloodstream, your digestive tract, as well as the water that is within all the cells found in the various types of tissue that make up your body. The second type of weight is fat weight. This refers to the weight of all the fat that is found within your body. Fat is not only found within your fat deposit sites, such as your thighs, the back of your arms, or your abdomen. It also surrounds and is within the vital organs of your body. It's found within your muscles and, unfortunately, within the walls of your arteries and veins, as well as within the heart muscle itself. Lipids, which are basic building blocks of fat, are found within virtually every cell of your body. Fat is the one tissue in your body that contains very little water. Lastly, there's lean weight. This refers to the weight of everything that is not water or fat, such as your muscles, hair, bones, cartilage, and other tissues. When you lose weight, you can lose either water, fat, or lean weight. The loss of lean weight is something you definitely don't want to happen. The loss of lean weight occurs when you're inactive. It also occurs when you severely restrict the amount of calories that you consume, such as when you're dieting. The loss of lean weight can also occur as part of the aging process, with the most pronounced losses coming from your muscles and your bone mass, the latter of which is known as osteoporosis. Strength training has been shown to be one of the most effective ways to prevent the loss of muscle as well as the loss of bone mass. Gains in muscle weight can occur at almost any age with the use of strength training exercises. The loss of water weight occurs constantly through the metabolic processes of sweating and urination. When you lose excessive amounts of water weight, you become dehydrated. This is also something that you don't want to happen. Dehydration is a very subtle and common problem. When you're dehydrated, most of the important processes that are performed by your body become less effective, including the metabolism of fat. Believe it or not, most people are walking around dehydrated to some degree. When you say that you want to lose weight, what you really mean is that you want to lose fat. The loss and gain of body fat occurs continually. In general, when your total energy requirements, calories expended, exceed your total energy consumed, calories eaten, your body breaks down body fat for energy, which, in turn, leads to fat weight loss. The reverse is also true. If you consume more energy, calories, than you expend, you'll store this excess energy as body fat. Your body automatically protects itself against losing too much fat too quickly. This protection mechanism exists to guard your stored energy, or fat, and protect you against starvation. Even if you are absolutely diligent with your eating and exercise habits and have a favorable metabolism, the greatest amount of fat weight that you can lose in a week is about 3 pounds. Now, if you've ever been on an overly calorie-restricted diet, you might remember losing up to 10 pounds in a given week, maybe even more. This lost weight was a combination of water, lean weight, and no more than 3 pounds of fat, with most of the loss coming from your water weight. This is especially true if your diet was of the high-protein, low-carbohydrate type. You can start to see why jumping on that scale certainly doesn't give you the whole picture. You'll soon learn about erratic fluctuations and plateaus in your weight that are due to a variety of factors. So how do you determine if you're making progress? First, weigh yourself now and record this weight. Then, you won't weigh yourself again until you begin phase 3. This is because, especially in the first two phases, you will be gaining water weight, and these extra pounds of water will hide the fact that you're losing body fat. Starting in phase 3, you will weigh yourself only once a week, and even then you'll need to fully understand the shortcomings of the scale. Starting right now, however, pay close attention to how your clothes fit. This is the best overall way to gauge the loss of body fat. Why? Because fat takes up considerably more space than water. For the most part, if your clothes are fitting more loosely, you're losing body fat. If they're fitting more tightly, you're gaining body fat. By understanding what's happening to your body and your weight, you'll know if you're on the right path, and you'll avoid the frustration when the scale's not budging, or even worse, when it moves higher. Trust me, at some point this will happen. Everyone experiences weight loss plateaus and sudden weight increases. It's simply part of the weight loss process. Keep in mind that you need a certain amount of body fat to survive. Body fat protects your internal organs, insulates you from the cold, is an important source of stored vitamins and nutrients, and provides you with your primary source of stored potential energy. Therefore, when you begin to lose body fat too quickly, certain biological mechanisms are triggered to protect you. We don't completely understand how these fail-safe protections work, but we do know that from time to time, your body needs to take a breather from losing weight. Once your body has adjusted to the changes you are making, it'll go on its merry way losing fat. If at any point in the program you find that you've just stopped losing weight, there's a good chance this is due to one of these biological adjustments. Be patient and continue with what you're doing. If the plateau in your weight continues for 3 or 4 weeks, you may have hit what is called a real plateau. Learning the difference between biological adjustments, water fluctuations, and hitting a real plateau is a skill, one that you can learn with just a little practice. Sometimes you stop losing body fat for a period of time, or your body fat increases slightly. If you've ruled out all the previously mentioned explanations, you've probably hit a real plateau. Your body tightly regulates the amount of body fat that you maintain and keeps it within a certain range. If you don't change anything that you're currently doing, you'll remain more or less at this level of body fat. In other words, you've realized your set point. Think of your set point as the setting on your body fat thermostat. Each setting corresponds to the total amount of body fat that your body will maintain. Every time you make an adjustment to your thermostat by changing your exercise or eating habits, you change the setting. Increase the amount of exercise you perform, and you maintain a lower percentage of body fat. Cut out certain unhealthy foods, and again, you maintain a lower percentage of body fat. But the important part about knowing when you've reached a real plateau is that it signals when it's time to add more exercise or move to the next phase of the program, or both. The key is to know when you've reached a real plateau, as opposed to one of the many other reasons why your body fat may have ceased to decrease. So when have you officially hit a real plateau? First of all, don't even start the clock ticking until the initial weight gain due to water is behind you. This can take up to 6 weeks or even more for some people. If you've begun to consistently lose weight and your weight loss stops for at least 3 weeks, and you can rule out all of the other explanations we've talked about previously, the chances are that you've hit a real plateau. If you want to lose more, you'll need to add a little more exercise to your week. If losing weight is your primary goal, reaching a real plateau will probably not be something that you're looking forward to. This requires a change in how you think. Reaching a real plateau is exactly what you need to tell you if you're making progress. If you continue to show results, even if they are slow, continue what you're doing and enjoy the ride down before making any changes. Once you begin phase two and you're ready for further results, simply increase the amount of weekly minutes that you exercise. Or if you're ready for the next phase, move up. The most dramatic changes to your body are going to occur due to changes in your metabolism. Rev up your metabolism and you'll lose body fat. Allow your metabolism to drop and your body fat increases. It's that simple. What exactly is metabolism? It's the rate that your body burns calories. The key word here is rate. The rate of calories that your body burns can change depending on what you're doing. If you're sleeping, your metabolism will be burning calories at a relatively slow rate. This rate is often referred to as your resting or basal metabolic rate. All your body's functions, breathing, maintaining your nervous system, digestive activities, slow down when you're asleep. Once you wake up, so do all the functions that your body performs. This raises your metabolism. When you begin your basic daily activities, your metabolism increases further to meet your increased energy demands. During exercise, your metabolism increases in direct proportion to the amount and intensity of your exercise. But did you know that you can also make more permanent changes to your total metabolism and elevate it all 24 hours each day of your life? This can be accomplished with regular aerobic exercise. This is one of the secrets to making dramatically positive changes to your body. How do you know if your metabolism is changing? Unfortunately, since metabolism refers to a rate of burning calories, there is no way to measure it directly. However, there are subtle cues that will tell you that it's changing. First of all, it has to increase while you're exercising. That's a given. Over time, As you gradually increase the amount and intensity of exercise that you're capable of doing, you can assume that your metabolism is increasing. But you will also notice a change in the way you perspire. When your metabolism increases, you will not only perspire more during exercise, but you will begin perspiring sooner into your workout. This is solid evidence that your metabolism is changing. Finally, as your clothes fit more loosely, you can conclude that this reflects an increased metabolism, especially when this occurs before you've reduced the amount of calories that you are consuming. Now let's consider one of the most vital resources on earth, water. And I want to begin by telling you the truth about drinking more water. Fact, there is a 75% chance that as you read this, you are dehydrated. That's right. 75% of all people don't drink enough water. The good news is that if you're one of them, you can hydrate yourself starting right now. So pour yourself a tall glass of clean, fresh water. And let me tell you about how drinking enough water can help you lose weight and make you much healthier overall. Fact, of all the nutrients that we need to live, water is the most essential. When you don't consume enough water, virtually every function that your body performs is compromised. This includes the important functions of digestion and fat metabolism. There's no doubt that by being fully hydrated, all of the wonderful changes that you're about to make will work more effectively for you. You need to start drinking enough water now. Fact, between 60 and 70% of your body weight is water, and you lose a lot of it each day through normal bodily processes. This lost water needs to be replaced if you're going to function at your best. When you're fully hydrated, that is when you're drinking enough water, your metabolism functions better, your digestion is improved, the water helps curb your appetite, and your exercise is far more effective. You're also able to be more active, and the more active you are, the fitter you become, and the more water you'll need, in part because your muscles soak up a lot more water. Remember, the more fully hydrated muscles that you have in your body, the more potential fat burners you'll have working for you. Keep in mind that the entire process of becoming leaner is not only a process of losing body fat and gaining active muscle, but also a process of gaining water. Active muscles not only store more water, they store more glycogen. Glycogen is a form of carbohydrate that is stored in your muscles. Along with fat, it is used as an energy source when you exercise. The more fit you become, the more glycogen is stored within your muscles. This allows you to work at higher levels of exercise, which help you become even fitter. Remember that every gram of glycogen within your body holds about 2.5 to 3 grams of water. So, here are your self-watering instructions. In phase one of the program, you'll be drinking a minimum of 6 8-ounce glasses of water each day. In phase two of the program, when you begin to become more active, your water requirement will be a minimum of 7 8-ounce glasses of water each day. In phase three, you'll be exercising more and getting fitter, and you will need a minimum of 8 8-ounce glasses of water each day. Finally, in phase four, you'll be exercising more and at higher levels. Therefore, I want you to drink a minimum of 9 8-ounce glasses of water each day. And I'm talking about plain, old-fashioned water. Sparkling water can have a diuretic effect, so it doesn't count. Your water requirement is over and above the water that you get from other foods and beverages you consume. I also want you to get out of the habit of drinking water only when you're thirsty. By the time you experience thirst, your body is already in a state of dehydration. Even when your thirst is satisfied, you still may be dehydrated. It's important to drink water throughout the day, and it's best to drink only 1 or 2 8-ounce glasses at any given sitting. This will help you spread your water consumption over the course of the day, rather than drinking your 8 glasses all at once. When you drink large quantities of water all at once, you stimulate your body to rid itself of water. Also, try not to drink your water too late in the evening. Otherwise, you'll find yourself waking up throughout the night. The next step is preparing your body to exercise, becoming functionally fit. We were made to move, and when we don't, our quality of life is significantly lowered, whether it's by excessive weight gain, by the loss of bone mineral, by the loss of muscle, or through one of the many hypokinetic diseases that range from headaches to heart disease. So in addition to increasing your daily activity by hiding the remote control, taking long walks after dinner, and using the stairs instead of the elevator, now is the time for you to begin to learn how to exercise properly. Remember that you should always consult your physician before you start an exercise program. It's also a good idea to have a checkup prior to beginning Get With The Program. And that checkup should at the very least include your blood pressure, total cholesterol, LDL cholesterol, HDL cholesterol, and blood sugar reading. One important question as we begin: what exactly is fitness? This seems like a straightforward question, but the truth is it's not. There are really different types of fitness. Functional fitness refers to your ability to safely and effectively perform routine movements and exercise. In phase one, we're going to emphasize your functional fitness using exercises that will improve your flexibility, balance, and coordination, as well as the muscular strength and endurance of your abdomen, your back, the stabilizing muscles of your shoulders, and your lower legs. Cardiovascular fitness refers to the ability of your heart, lungs, and arteries to deliver oxygen, which is carried in the blood, to working muscles, and your muscles' ability to use that oxygen to perform aerobic work over a particular period of time. Your cardiovascular fitness is improved primarily through aerobic exercises. We're going to emphasize the improvement of your cardiovascular fitness starting in phase two of your program. Then there's muscular fitness. Your muscular fitness refers to your muscular strength, muscular power, and muscular endurance. These are all important qualities that will be enhanced for the most part through the use of strength or weight training exercises. Your muscular fitness will be emphasized in phase four of your program. Get With The Program addresses each of these three areas of fitness just as it does everything else, progressively. This means that you will emphasize different elements of fitness when you are ready and when they will have the greatest overall positive effect for you. While both your cardiovascular fitness and your muscular fitness have a greater overall effect on your metabolism, a sufficient level of functional fitness needs to be achieved before you can effectively train the other two areas. The exercises that you will be using to improve your functional fitness fall into four categories. The first, flexibility exercises or stretches. The second, abdominal crunches. The third, back and shoulder exercises. And finally, a lower leg exercise. You'll find a complete set of these functional exercises described on the mini disc that accompanies this program. Print out the exercise descriptions from the disc so you can have them handy when you do the exercises. In phase one, the entire series of functional exercises can be completed in about 8 to 10 minutes. You should wear comfortable clothing that is suitable for some light stretching and basic movement. These exercises should be performed at least 3 times a week, starting right now. As you begin, you should also begin an exercise log to keep track of your progress. A simple calendar will do, with a space to check off your exercises and a space for your comments. So load that mini disc, print out the functional exercises, and get going. Remember, these are the functional exercises that you will perform throughout your program. The stretches will remain the same throughout all the phases. In phase one, you will perform each of the functional exercises a total of 15 times, 3 times a week. In phase two, you'll do one set of 15 of each of the functional exercises 4 times a week. In phase three, you will do 2 sets of 15 of each of the functional exercises 5 times a week. In phase four, you'll do 3 sets of 15 of each of the functional exercises 5 times a week. Welcome to Phase 2, Revving Up Your Metabolism. Congratulations on reaching Phase 2. In this phase, you're going to start revving up your metabolism and getting in shape, slowly but surely, with the help of aerobic exercise. You're also going to limit the amount of alcohol that you consume, if that's one of your beverages of choice. These will be your primary goals in Phase 2, along with continuing to build on what you learned in Phase 1. You should be able to complete phase two in between 3 weeks and 3 months. Just remember that your progress should always be at your own pace. You might even be content with the results that you achieve here and decide that phase two is as far as you'd like to progress, and that's fine. Here are the goals for phase two. 1. Drink a minimum of 7 glasses of water each day. 2. Increase your functional exercise routine to 4 times per week. 3. Perform aerobic exercise for a minimum of 50 minutes per week. 4. Begin to limit or eliminate your consumption of alcohol. 5. If you want to progress, increase your aerobic exercise to 75 minutes per week as you prepare for phase 3. 6. Maintain your exercise log. In this phase, you'll be adding aerobic exercise to your life. Aerobic exercise will soon become the foundation of your fitness routine. It is the primary way that you'll improve your